Blog Talk Radio.
Heim og kvad i sång i liv, vakna dik og edelig drenge, de høyre nyken på havet skri, for de er sovet i for lenge. Heim og kvad i sång i vakna dik og edelig drenge, de høyre nyken den heying hun, for de er sovet i for lenge. Nyken han tala til styringsmann, vakna dik og for de er sovet i for lenge. Jeg vil meg på Kristeland gå, vakna dik og edelig drenge, den vene jomfrua vil jeg få.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and with me tonight is, of course, the enchanting, the lovely, the beautiful Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the
Hello.
Show, Janine.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I'm here with Blackie.
Oh, nice. Where Scott's yep. cat sometimes spends it. Blackie the kitty. Yeah, Scott's cats are not in the room with me, so. But I love it. I love that we have kitty cat energy. And, I am so glad to be doing the show tonight. A lot of really good stuff happened in the last 48 hours to me, to Janine, to Simon. Everything is shifting. Everything is moving rapidly. We are truly integrating levels of awareness, and which is in direct correlation to literally levels of soul that our whole experience I'm getting from me and Janine and speaking with Simon online, it's I'm just finding it amazing, because my birthday is bringing a lot of changes, but one of the changes that is truly completely out of my control, yet I have dreamed about for a very long time, is that to be in the flow. You know, when the times are good, they're just so good, because everything is so polarized. You know, when we're integrating the darkness, it's like, you know, whoosh, it's definitely, you know, it's full on. I know it's always for the goodness, but while I'm in it, it's dark and it's heavy. I won't abandon the practice, but it's still dark and heavy. And yet the integration afterwards is just beyond, you know, beyond the lightness and buoyancy I could know I could feel. But what's happening is I am now connecting with people who are also on this timeline, this rhythm that we go through our darkness together. And so when we take our, you know, our solitudeness and, you know, we go in, everybody's cool. Nobody's kind of hanging on to anybody's coattails. And there's just respect, and there's patience, and, you know, a divinity. And then it seems like we all come out of this cocoon, and, you know, we're just all invigorated from the integration that just took place. And I mean, personally, that is a dream come true. That is, for me, heaven on earth, being in communion with people on this journey that genuinely get it. I can share and not have to feel I have to, like when I'm really feeling, you know, just inspired and expanded, and share with Janine and Simon and Scott And nobody's telling me to get small through guilt because, you know, because they're on a different cycle than I am, or because they're not doing the work, so they don't see that. They don't see that periodic tunnel and the periodic light. You know, it seems to be it's like a blinking light. You know, 'cause when you do the work, it's not all dark. It's not all light. It's the blending of the two, which is ultimately the unification of self. I mean, that is really what we're doing. We are unifying ourselves, and well, it's a dream come true for me to experience this. So thank you. I love you guys. Yeah, aww. Right on. Right on.
I love that it's a dream come true, because I think that, and it's funny that what's spectacular for me about that is it's when these what would be possibly perceived as small things in life, but they're literally perfect and they're so coming true. Together and they feel like a dream come true, but they're so different than what perhaps might, you know, oh, it's my dream come true, and you know, some large,
the ego dream. It's not,
yeah,
the ego dream
story or the yeah. I mean, just this morning, you know, we can talk about like our weekend, because you had a great weekend and I had a great weekend, and they were very different, but not different in many ways, in that
exactly.
You were with people and I was with people, and you know, Simon, I think, has something to say as well. And but I just this morning, I flew in last night from Toronto late, and I was up early, and my son came downstairs, and that was, he's not usually here. He's here with his friend, his girlfriend, and he took her to the ferry, and then he goes, it was a beautiful morning, and I just had come in, and I was in this space of my own, and he just said, hey, you want to go for a run in the park? And there, you know that there's something going on when that felt truly like a dream come true. And that's not that,
yeah,
you know, big a deal, but I was like, what perfect timing to have my son here to ask me to go for a run in the park, when in fact it's exactly what my body needed. Exactly.
Well, and you love doing that. I mean, you love running in the park. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
the
it's
sunlight,
like
the oxygen, it's in the grass, it's on dirt. It's,
yeah,
like, if you saw where I get to run, then you'd go, oh my God, because it's beautiful, and it's a combination of giant open meadows and giant open meadows with these
nice
grass paths and woods. But then just to have my son, who's 27, who's a musician, and he was in this conversation with me that was just so aligned with, like, you know, music in itself is kind of magical to me. But just the way he was talking about his creativity and music, and it was, and it's, you know, this isn't commonplace for me and him to go for a run, and him for to be talking to me about his music and how amazing the unfolding of what he's doing is. And but I literally felt like it couldn't have been better, and that was just going, like, it was just how something fell into place so simply but perfectly for me. And
right on.
You know, it's funny, because you almost, when, you know, it's almost like it's a peaceful, but it's not like this inflated high at all. In fact,
no,
it's the steady kind of like feeling.
It's a fulfillment. It's,
yeah,
a fulfillment.
But, yeah, and so there was just something that struck me as like, wow, that couldn't have been more perfect. And once again, as people hear me say this so many times, because this is how all the good stuff happens, completely unexpected. You know, I didn't know he was going to be here. I was sitting doing, you know, some emails, and I was probably not going anywhere. You know, it was he that, you know, said, do you want to go running? And it was perfect for the space that I was in. It was perfect to spend time with him. What he was talking about was like food for me, because it was all about music and creativity and believing in yourself, and how when you have a passion and a vision, you just go for it, and you don't think about, oh, but what if I fail? I mean, he started talking about Thomas Edison to me, and because was born in New Jersey, you know. And, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because we have Edison,
God bless,
Jersey.
They produce a lot of genes.
Yay, New Jersey.
Jersey.
It's a garden state. Lots of work. So, anyway.
Producing garden vines, God bless it.
The best tomatoes in the country. No, so,
right on.
It's true. So,
right on.
And cranberries. And but he started talking to me about vision and passion, and you know, you go for your dream and you don't think about failure. And he goes, you know, many people probably thought Thomas Edison was an outcast and crazy. Yeah, until he's like, hey, I think he's on to something. But before that, you know, you're just the nut going for your invention and your dream. And it's just, it was wonderful to hear him talking like this, because I know exactly what he's talking about. And it was,
yeah. It
was just, he's talking about this producer that is helping him make an album, and this man works from complete intuitive vision and feel for music. And, you know, it's just a room full of musicians that play because they love to play. And what they're creating is so authentic. And the word you used earlier was genuine. And,
yeah.
You know, that stands out now because there's not much of that going around. And you know, all this corporatizing and, you know, it just robs the good, true, and beautiful, you know. And so, I had such a cool morning in this almost quiet high, you know. I mean, that's really how it was. And it's just amazing to me that the dreams come true are now something like that. You know,
it's perfect timing. It's perfect. You know, it's like it's the perfection of the moment, whatever that is. That's
exactly
what it seems to be. And you know, but I'm seeing the moments being things that I know I have said I want this in my life. You know, and I mean for years. I'm still doing the inner work. I mean, of course, because I mean, I'm not pure light yet. As long as I'm, in physical, obviously there's something to be integrated, and I'm totally up for doing it. But I've always wanted it to be that, you know, like I had a partner in life, and then I always wanted it to be that, you know, and we had, you know, a group of friends, kind of like, you know, the show Friends, or, you know, where I just a network, but and I definitely have it online. I mean, absolutely, my friends online have held me, as well as the phone, meaning any kind of communication tool, who have literally held me during most of this journey, which I did solo. Now all of that is changing, and it's not changing because I've manipulated anything.
Right.
And, you know, I understand. When I say manipulation, I'm not saying necessarily manipulation from a negative term. It's more that, you know, I've never been afraid to, you know, stand up and make something happen, you know. But it's like I would push people, or I would push life by doing that, where now it's the subtle world of just trusting it. I mean, because, you know, me and Scott have created, you know, three delightful relationships with three couples. You know, nobody's single. Now, and these are people I knew, but some of them I just met, like Trisha's boyfriend I just met at the party, and, you know, Dave and Punky, they're kind of new in my life. It's like I have a lot of new people in my life, you know, old friends, new spouses, but this whole idea that we're all coupled and there's a synergy. I mean, Janine, it's happening with me and you. It's happening across the board for me that I'm doing the journey, and I'm being around people who are conscious and who like talking deep with me. And, you know, because I've never really been one to wish and hope for, you know, big cars in the driveway or diamonds on my neck, or, you know, I mean, that's just not what I would that's not what I'm missing in my life. You know, I want people connection. I've always wanted to feel connected, be connected. I mean, genuinely be connected, where it's the synchronicities and the subtlety of the relationship is just profoundly obvious. Now, how is it all going to play out? I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. But it's here to be experienced. It's like I'm at that gate
mm-hmm.
of life where, you know, I'm a married woman, so I'm, you know, committed in a relationship, and I have, you know, three couples who are open to doing group conscious, or not group conscious work, group events, because it's not work. That's the thing. I didn't really talk spiritual at all at my party, but I was, present. You know, just present. You know, we didn't have to talk about the mental. See, that's what I used to do. I used to make everything be a mental procedure. Now it's, you know, it's really more about, you know, giggling, laughing, being in the moment, playing games. It was different. I was in my body. I wasn't in my head, even though,
yes.
Truth be told, I was still in my head because, for me, my truth is I'm not used to doing parties without alcohol. Now, I don't need to drink at all in my life, and I don't drink. I mean, I'm not big. I don't really like the flavor of alcohol. But I am definitely in a conditioned state that if I'm throwing a party, I have alcohol to relax me. And, you know, this is part of the thing that, Jay, you said to me, you know, when we were talking about other stuff I'm going through, that it's helping me grow because I was out of my comfort zone, you know, not having the alcohol. And the best part about it was all my friends around me were like, listen, you're a head case, but we love you. It's cool. You can be a head case. You can go to sleep. You know, it's like nobody was forcing change on anybody. Like everybody just was. Some people went to sleep. You know, some people played the game. Some people. It was just. It was so magical in its simplicity. I mean, I get it. It sounds like, you know, wow, Goldie, is this what you're talking about on the radio? To be honest, I can understand when they say we're going to go to heaven through the eyes of a child or whatever. You know, the kingdom of heaven is found in the eyes of the child. I don't know the Bible,
right,
but you know what I'm talking about. Because it is the simplicity. These are the things that I used to want when I was 4 years old. You know, just to have great friends and, you know, sit around and play at the sandbox together, whatever, maybe older, probably about 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. You know, pre-puberty, you know, when it was just about just chilling, you know, it wasn't no competition, no, I mean, because I'll be honest with you, I was very surprised. I didn't put on much makeup, you know, my hair kind of dried freely. I didn't care. I kept going, like, we cleaned the house, and me and Scott busted his hump for this party. I mean, he cleaned the house with me. He cooked everything. He cleaned up today, or yesterday. His gift was the commitment of really helping this party run smoothly. He was amazing. But there were times where I was like, you know, I was cleaning the house, and I was like, you know, I'm going to make it clean, but, you know, I'm not going to sweat if it's spotless and perfect. It, like, I'm not going for a job interview here. I'm inviting friends over. You know, I'm going to clean everything, but this isn't about the immaculate germicidal effect of this house. This is about, you know, a presence of warmth and relaxedness and realness and natural and organic. You know, it's like, you know, God made dirt and a little won't hurt. Because I just noticed myself going, it's friends, Goldie. You know, because I could see how, I know people that get caught up in parties where it becomes a horrible experience for the host and hostess. Just horrible. And I was like, I didn't want that to happen to me. I felt it come up, but it was so quickly obvious to me that my friends were like, you know, Goldie, you're good. Because it almost feels like I'm a little awkward. I remember when I first got on a bike after, like, I don't know, 20 years of not riding a bike. And, you know, you think you just get on a bike and ride again. That was not my experience. I mean, I was literally like, whoa, I actually don't remember how to do this. Like, I mean, I used to let go of my hands, and I mean, me and the bike, we were one. I was crazy. Nothing like that. You know, it's like I knew how to ride, but I nowhere near had the confidence I had as a kid when, like I have with my car now. I mean, I didn't have that with the bike. And my socializing right now is definitely, it's a skill that is, I need to refine it from a different space, from a new integrated space, from a space where it's not about getting together and getting shit-faced. It's about getting together and experiencing each other and enjoying each other's company and listening to each other and laughing with each other. You know what I mean? It's so, I don't want to call it sober because it's not that. It's sovereign. We're not all running away.
You know what I thought was, what you said was so appropriate for everything, when you use the word conditioning, because I think that that is what you notice, how doing it differently is doing it in the, you know, giving up the conditioning of what, I mean, that's pretty much,
right.
You know, in everything right now. And it's funny because today in the conversation, my son's making an album and, you know, we kind of hoped it was going to be done in February and, you know, I said, well, what do you think, June? And he's like, no, I think April. But he said, you know, at first, trying to get everybody on the same page, get the musicians, get the recording, he said, we were kind of like a teenager. We were awkward. And he goes, but now we've moved along and it's running better now and the awkwardness is gone and we're more mature.
Right.
Like,
yes,
and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, there isn't, you know, but you got to go through those stages. And you know,
well,
it's funny.
Right.
Yeah. And I was thinking that, you know, there is no, and not that we would want to, but there's no predicting any of what you have experienced, you know, in these, because look at how many, you know, there were places and friends and, you know, locations and scenarios where they just, you just got close and you went, no, this isn't working. And but it wasn't like you knew your next step. And that's really how it is. I mean, you know, so that is being in the present. That is what you said, like your party. I mean, that is it. Being in the present is everything. Like this morning, that is where I was. I was sitting at a table, and next thing you know, unexpected, do you want to run? And it was a gorgeous day, and be with my son and have a conversation that was, you know, literally, if you could rank it in the scales of 1 to 10 on, oh, you know, fantastic. It was like a 9.8. And, you know, I would...
It's tough to get the judges to give out 10s these days.
I couldn't predict... Right. I don't know where that 0.2... But no, but it's... Well, you know, if you played me some of his songs, I would have liked that. But, you know, I've yet to hear them. You know, I'm like...
Oh, well, he won't let you read the book until it's published. That's okay.
Exactly.
I mean...
No, I'm a patient person. I understand.
Right on.
You know, but... There's something about the three words, genuine present time, and noticing what you're doing from a place that's out of the box of the conditioned place. And they're all like, they couldn't, that's where, that is it. When you say dreams come true, that's the place, you know. Mm. And just to really bring a little another point in here that people could appreciate is that when I went away this weekend to do a workshop with a dear friend of mine and teacher, Patrick O'Neill, in Toronto, Canada, it was called Vision of the Heart. And I said, oh, I really want to do something called Vision of the Heart because it just sounded like something, I was drawn to it. And it was just 2 days and it was in Toronto and it just felt good for me. So he starts off the program by talking about multiple, you know, how we can be in multiple timelines at the same time of past, present, future, but mostly and being in the past and the future because we're stuck in the past and we're already worrying about in the future. And the present is where you want to be, because it is the place of the center point of magic, of where it all, like, that's the unfolding, you know.
Yeah.
And if you can deal with your pain, deal with your darkness, get out of the past, you know, and just stay in the present, the future is just like, you know, you'll watch it unfold, but you'll be still very much in this present place. And when you're at your party, you were in the present. When I was here this morning, I was in the present, and that's when all the stuff happened, all the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
Like, I know, and it's what's funny about it is, and you say, oh, you know, is this really what we want to talk on a radio show? It is, because it seems so, like, small, but it's not. It's the magic stuff. It's like, you know, you're standing outside and a bird drops a shell and I don't catch it, but it hits me that my character in my book catches it. It's like a moment of magic for me. And all it was a seagull dropping a shell from its beak, because that's what they eat. They eat what's inside the shell. But it was a moment of magic for me. And, you know,
yeah.
It's like, how do you explain that? And it's like, well, I know it seems so simple, but it's the beginning of a magical story. And that's how the present time can be and is actually. Where,
well, right. And it's a very different present moment than at least, you know, my circle of friends. We have not experienced this presence, you know, the whole time coming up. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I won't speak for anybody else. I'll speak.
No, what's so funny is I'll make you laugh by saying, doesn't it seem like in the last week the present moment seems even better?
Yeah. Well, it just seems we graduated to a new level. Like, it seems like the ring of truth. It's like the integration, because this is what I'm kind of, the past is about the stuff that we pushed away, because in the past we weren't ready to feel it.
Right.
So we pushed that stuff away, however we pushed it away, it doesn't matter. But the present moment, so it's not about avoiding our past, it's literally about integrating our past.
Yeah, because, and gathering it, yeah.
And it's so effortless because, you know, like a dear friend of mine called me today, and she's very close with her sister, and they're triggers. You know, and she's like, you know, her daughter got caught drinking at high school. She's 16, and the mother of the daughter screamed at the sister and goes, it's all your fault, you're the influence, I'm not going to let my kids see you anymore. And, you know, she got very upset by that, because they're sisters, they know each other, you know, they know each other intimately, and, you know, so she's pushing her button of parenting. The sister whose kid it's not is going, well, wait a minute, she's your kid, so you got to take responsibility for why she's drinking. And when she called me, I swear, I was like, I go, okay, this is a game of trigger. I go, now, you know, I can't speak for your sister, but you called me up and said, you know, can you talk with me? It's like, here's what you need to do. You need, everything you're seeing in your sister is you. So I went, so now instead of, because she tends to, when she calls me up, energetically wants to just dump on her sister to me.
Yeah.
Now, I won't play that, because simply from the perspective of that, then you're not getting the point. I'm here to help you integrate. If you want to integrate, give Goldie a call when you're not feeling good. And because it ultimately, it's the way I know to genuinely make the experience have value. There is no value when you take the anger and it skips like a rock off the water, and you just basically take your anger and then place your anger into me, or whoever is listening to you on the other end of the phone. You know, it's like, because, and so I was just basically saying to her, listen, and I know this family, literally, we grew up together. Her parents and my parents were best friends. So I could bring, you know, references up, and I'm going, you know, here's the ultimate. You're the sister that, you know, kind of talks about the awakening and unconditional love. Be it. Be it to yourself, so that everything that you're pissed off at your sister for, recognize that in this moment of clarity, that those are parts of you that are ringing the doorbell going, can I come home? Because you felt that. And, you know, I love when people get quiet when you're talking on the phone, because I can literally feel like it drops into their cells, even though it's not necessarily, it's not a permanent state. It's an intelligent, you know, in other words, it's in their brains, but there's a moment of silence where I can feel it. It's like there's a shift, a cellular shift. But until they feel that cellular shift, it's not a complete shift. Like, what I went through this weekend was a cellular shift that, like, socializing is becoming part of my experience again. I know that cellularly. And I'm committed to this timeline. It's, why am I committed to it? Because I want this timeline. You know, I've intended for this to happen. This is exquisite. And, of course, this will bring in all new things for me to interpret about myself, because it's really all about self. And there was a good part of the conversation where every time I'd say that, she'd get quiet and then she'd come back out and say, but my sister did this and her husband said this. And you can, I mean, it's like, I'm beginning to see how people, they can hear, it's a seed. We can plant seeds.
But remember, Goldie, remember the grocery cart lady on New Year's Day for me at the Whole Foods parking lot?
Yes, of course.
So, maybe the listeners don't know, but, there was this encounter I had where I don't think I put the grocery cart, I violated grocery cart etiquette. Which I do even now. So anyway, I didn't put the grocery cart back to a place where this woman in the car next to me approved of it. And she got out of her car so angry and moved it about 3 feet as if to say, that's better. And then glared at me so angry. And it really kind of rocked me enough to go, wow, and tell Goldie and then talk about it on the radio. And what was interesting was when you said, well, look at that piece as a part of you that was reflecting back to you. And, and I listened, and it was a great awareness that, within, without, and then you see yourself in the eyes of another, especially when that person is reflecting back something that, may not be, quote, as pretty as you want it to be, but it's a very important piece. And I think that your friend, you can even tell her the grocery cart lady story, because, I would not have gone, oh yeah, that was a piece of me that maybe I needed to look at. And then literally puff, let it go. It was like puff, gone. But now the beauty of that story is it's a great teaching story. It's a great reference story for someone else who might need to look at someone they're seeing and say, oh yeah, I'm in that. That's part of me. Oh yeah. I'm telling you, not only do you do great things for yourself where you are giving yourself a gift by dropping the ego and going, who cares? Okay,
who cares about what it looks like? I mean, because
the one that does care
is self-care. Self-cares. Go ahead.
But because the minute you can drop your defenses about needing to look a certain way and being attached to being right and smart and good and not angry and all those things, it's so much better. And I would tell her the angry grocery cart lady story.
We're going to go out to lunch next week. I will tell her that story.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
But there was another thing I had in my head that was,
You first.
What I loved about because I was getting the whole feeling about your birthday and the party, and it's exactly why I decided to do this in December, but the reason I even told them why I was there was because I knew it would be good for me. It was nurturing. I wanted to put myself in that environment of something that's good for me and that's nurturing. Yeah. And that's a really good thing to remember. And I know it sounds, again, so simple, but wait, there's not more? Well, maybe there is more, that's really powerful, but the fact that you put yourself in something that feels good for you and is good for you is, you know, right now where you are, where I am, our instincts are very good. To know, and it's, you know, and I was right and you were right, and I completely got when I was sitting in the Toronto airport talking to you last night on the phone as I'm waiting for the plane, you know, I got how good it was, and you got how good it was where I put myself. And,
this is the segue. This is what people don't get. This is where those polar opposites come in. See, when you're willing to take in the reflections of the quote-unquote, I'm just going to quote it as this, as the ugly, dark stuff, don't think for a moment. You're also training yourself to take in the joy.
Absolutely.
It has to come hand in hand. That was what I was going to say. And, of course, you just said it because you're living it. We're not nurturing ourselves when we're smoking cigarettes to feel better. That's a conditioned belief that, you know, you want to nurture yourself, you want everything to be nurtured. You want the body, the mind, the emotions, and the soul, all four of your beings to ultimately. Now, listen, I'm not saying that you can't live to 100 years old smoking cigarettes. When I'm talking about nurturing myself, this isn't about the perspective of health from the body. This is about the fulfillment of when me and Janine are saying right now that I'm sharing with you that we made some connections with people this weekend that nurtures me from an inside job point of view. It's soul. I mean, I'm sorry. That's the simple truth is it's my soul being nurtured. And when I'm willing to do the shadow work, hands down, the joy shows up too.
That's down. Right. Another emphasis. That's a really hands down important. You can't have one without the other. So the beauty is that when you do that work where you own those pieces of yourself, you do create the other. You create the nurt that it. Well, the irony is that's actually nurturing yourself too. But we've been taught But yeah, it's so easy to.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to address something. Simon goes, every show you harp on us poor smokers. Listen, Simon, not at all, not at all. And I'll tell you what I did the last year I was smoking, when you smoke, just do it with reverence. Literally, give homage to the plant. Give homage to what you're inhaling and blending with, because. For me, listen, I smoked so long I couldn't breathe anymore. That's where I came from. I swear to God, people, they were smoking at the party. I mean, they didn't smoke inside the house. They went on the porch. Because I guess on some level, I guess I can handle the smell of smoke, but I don't want it on everything anymore. So that is a judgment. That's a preference. But I am not harping on you smoking, not at all. You don't have to be conscious of it. Just be conscious of when you're doing it because give reverence to it. Because I'll tell you too, you, in my humble opinion, you can't quit smoking until you've integrated why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't quit smoking. I just integrated that for me, a deep breath didn't need nicotine to be taken. Like, I can actually take a deep breath now without having a cigarette in my hand. And I'll be honest with you, I don't believe I would have done that for the other, 20, 30 years that I was smoking. So it became a level of awareness that it's the deep breath. Cigarettes absolutely get you deep breathing. That's awesome.
Right.
And I've also heard from Tobias and Adamus that tobacco is actually an enhancer of intent. So, of course, you know, the powers that be spin the intent that it's addictive. I've heard that it's actually not addictive, but it will enhance whatever you're feeling or thinking at the time you're doing it.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of magical quality. Hey, I'm all about the herbs and the smoking as medicine.
And the conditioning as well. But then on the other hand, you know, if you watch the movie, I'll remember the title. It's one of my favorites. But, you know, how they enhance the addictive quality of the nicotine by putting another kind of drug in there. And they do that. So, you know,
Yeah. Well, I would also recommend smoking, you know, if you can. I mean, they're very costly, but the Native American ones that are just pure tobacco, they're not, you know, the Marlboros and the Merits and okay, but because he's writing, it's okay. I really want to quit anyway. Then find the acceptance of it, because the way to quit, and I know because this thing held me, oh, my God. Out of all the drugs that I've ever done, the toughest one to quit was cigarettes, and I heard the only thing tougher is heroin. Love it. Forget quitting it.
Just brought it up this morning because he's a singer. And he was smoking because, you know, you're at bars at night and, you know, you're singing and, you know, it keeps you. But he gave it up because he really didn't want to do that to his throat and his lungs anymore. And it took a while, but, you know, now he's running and, you know, he just wants to take care of his vocal cords and his lungs. But he's 27 and he was smoking and he, you know, for a good probably like 5 years and, yes, so now he quit, and he doesn't have any craving, he said. And that just came up this
You
got to
do it from within. You got to do it from within. You can't do it from it can't be something you're afraid of. You can't quit because you're afraid. You let it go when you love it into yourself and then expand beyond it. I mean, in my humble opinion, because It's amazingly powerful, but it's been twisted insidiously to be that power is used against us. And that's why the power of cigarettes can help you quit the cigarettes itself when you align with the power of the cigarettes, with the power of the tobacco. That's, wow, I'm just blowing my own mind.
No, I know.
I was like, wow, that was really good.
So many things have been twisted, you know?
Well, and that's the untwisting is, I mean, for me, 2012, hands down, if I had to describe 2012, clarity, man. Clarity on deeply, deeply profound levels. And I know that I'm only on the tip of my proverbial iceberg of clarity. I mean, just the tip of it. This is, and it's a momentum. It's a momentum that is, well, it's a lot of fun, obviously. I mean, but it's like I remember I used to consider the quote-unquote ascension, you know, it was kind of like I was going uphill and I had a bag of rocks on my back. It's like, you know, because I used to always say, why is doing the right thing always so difficult?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, and I think that's kind of an awareness that we all have, whether we do the right thing or not, you know, I mean, there's just integrity seems to be, you know, it's not supported. The virtues, you know, they're not supported in our culture. And yet now it's like, you know, if once you lead a virtuous life on some level, there is no getting away with anything. It's no longer, oh, nobody saw me do that. It's like, you are that. You know, it's like just having this understanding of, it's like I feel like I've filled up the space, again, with the words being fulfilled. When it's my soul who is truly expressing itself through me and you know, the ego is no longer afraid to surrender to my soul, first of all, because the ego is not being annihilated or banished. It's just being released of the responsibility of captain. And it's becoming, you know, it's sitting shotgun. It's like, you know, just do everything I need. Hand me my tools. Do what I need. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let the soul navigate where we're going. And the ego's going, like, literally, I'm hearing, you know, damn, I'm tired. Thank you for relieving me of that. Because I really wasn't built to do that at this point. You know,
and you know,
right?
So funny,
there's a harmony. There's a harmony about this.
What's so funny is that,
what gets the ego relieved is when you look at the angry grocery cart lady and you go, oh, yeah, I am her. That is a part of me. And the ego, finally the ego's going, oh, good, she finally saw it, you know.
Exactly.
Like, now I can, you know, so it's, so we make a big deal about owning some of this stuff when, in fact, your friend, if they could just go, oh, yeah, God, that is me. You know, everything just sort of quiets down and goes, I don't have to work so hard anymore. You know, I don't have to keep pulling in. I don't have to pull in the angry sister and everyone who's mad at me. And I don't have to have the lady get mad at Janine in the parking lot.
Yes, and it's not that she won't pull her in, because I really believe that what it's ultimately, you'll look at the anger and it, you won't resonate with it.
No,
but
I
won't.
It won't
necessarily go away.
And I'm not putting the shopping cart where it's supposed to be.
You know, exactly. I mean, because I'm telling you, the wonderful key to this is really understanding, you know, the light and the dark. There's no hierarchy here. They are literally side by side with each other. One's not better. And, you know, whatever it is that's bringing us into balance, because this is really a journey right now of balance. And, you know, if we've spent the last, you know, three or four lifetimes, you know, in the light, well, then we had to come this lifetime and, you know, and work our shadow side, because it's a sideways thing. It's a pendulum. You know, if you're swinging too far in the light, well, inevitably in a dualistic experience, well, then swing back to the dark and get your wisdom from over there, too, because there is wisdom in being in the dark. As my throat closes up, just so everybody knows, Simon goes, did Scott say something on the air? And I go, he goes, or am I hearing things? And I go, no, you're hearing things. And he goes, oh, it's you, Goldie. I have a cold, everybody. And like I said, I never say I get sick. So something's cleansing. It's definitely, it happened starting from at my birthday. And so whatever was suppressed is coming out. And, you know, I'm cool with it. I thought about not doing the show tonight and knew, oh, no, you know, a little coughing. You know, Janine will help me out if I need some. But I so desired to want to be here tonight to share that, you know, because you guys share with me when I go through my really, you know I get on the line and, you know, I'm bitching. Like, it's dark and it's painful, and I'm not hiding that from you guys.
Right.
And I'm not hiding it when I integrate it. You know, I just can't tell you, to be able to do that is truly priceless, that I can be everything I am. I mean, literally, that is so important to me, as I can tell you that it's been part of, like, you know, if we had to check off boxes from our souls in each lifetime, this lifetime that there was a box checked, it is important to be authentic. It is so important to me to be authentic. And to be accepted makes it, you know, it just, the joy goes off the charts. I'm going to be authentic even if I'm not accepted, but I don't want to not be accepted. I want to be, and I don't care about being accepted by everyone, because I get most people don't accept me. But the people, those three couples, they accepted me. Scott accepts me. Janine accepts me. Simon, you know, it's like, because the people that do get me are, here's the irony, are also doing the integration. So when our ugly side comes up, however that looks, including smoking, Simon, and that, like I said, it's only ugly if we're thinking it's ugly. We're not being judged by it at all. Because I kept telling my friend on the phone, I kept going, you know, you're judging your sister for the way she parents, but that makes you just as bad as she is. And she's like, I know, but, and I went, no, see, you can't butt your way out of that.
Yeah.
If we're judging, you know, and you know, that's what the transparency is all about. The transparency is to say, I'm not gonna fluff up my dark spells. Simon, you don't fluff up your dark spells. When you're feeling it, you show me, you tell me. You're like, you know, this hurts, or this is, you know, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. You know. But I have that experience with you. Janine, when we were talking taxes, I mean, it was getting dark, and, You know, and none of us are going, I mean, that's why I love when you got really touched when I was like, you can pay your taxes, of course, whatever you choose, you know. And I can really understand how you took that so deeply, because when I was a head case at the party and Tricia looked at me and goes, we love you, Goldie. You're cool. She didn't sit me down and do therapy with me, quote unquote.
Right.
Basically said, we love you, even as a head case. Be a head case, okay? I mean, it was like, wow, that's unconditional love. And it is a healing that I think, no, I don't think, I know, is what all of our, that's the lubrication of the times we're living in, because we are gathering up the pieces of our souls from many lifetimes, moving back up through the dimensions. I mean, that's what we're doing. And once, you know, and people, you know, because I forget, I've often asked myself, can I really gather, like, every painful experience I've never, you know, that I have not integrated? I'm thinking to myself, I mean, the first 25 years of my life, oh, my God, you know, there was a lot of pain involved, you know, a lot of pain. And now I'm like, oh, of course I can do it, because I'm strong enough. I'm strong enough to do it. I'm the rock that I always wanted in my life, that I was seeking. The pain of what I was seeking was, I was seeking someone to just love me for who I am. And like, hello, that's me. It's me now loving me for who I am. In those moments when I didn't. It's like, wow. God. Just think about the brilliance on that. I mean, we're saving ourselves.
Well,
you know,
the beauty is that, because the word popped up about 3 minutes ago as you were talking, but it's definitely the beauty of what you're explaining and what you've like demonstrated over the time that I've known you on the radio show is the willingness to reveal yourself, and that is you know, that's why the stories of the shopping cart lady, or, you know, seeing herself in her sister or whoever that is, or that she's talking about, because the willingness, the gifts that come from revealing those parts of yourself and not, you know, just letting the ego, like you said, gets relieved to go, so
right.
Glad to be in the back seat now. You know, it's why so many people are stressed out and tired, and because to keep those defenses up is exhausting. And so, you know, there's
a lot
of energy released when you drop those defenses and you live much more in a revealing place, and which of course is authentic. And you know, it's just it is win-win in a way, because you the benefits of that are incredible. You know, so for me,
and it's not of the third and fourth dimension, those benefits. It's of the higher dimensions of where, in my humble opinion, if you're listening to us, we're all on this organic ascension. I mean, right? Because something George said in his latest interview, which was, you know, really struck a chord with me, that there's a religious ascension going on now,
right,
and there's an organic ascension. And I know, you know, we just keep renaming these two timelines, but I mean that it's true. There is a religious ascension going on. And the religious ascension are the ones that won't discuss the darkness, you know, or if they're discussing it, they're banning it because it's, you know, it's an exorcism, get rid of it, you know, it's not us, it's the devil, it's, you know, it's still completely, in my humble opinion, lacking responsibility.
You know, and it's
right.
Like, no, you know, get that other out of your vocabulary, you know, because that's just making something, you know, it's pointing the finger again, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a really...
Well,
what?
Yeah, that's, and it's, so I think it's important to, I share, and Janine shares, and Simon shares, we share the organic process, and I, because I think, see, the word authentic, you can't even put that in the religious ascension, because I mean it's almost like, because it's not authentic to have Jesus come and save you. That's not authentic. That's literally saying, I can't do it for myself, so you're going to do it for me. Where is there authenticity in that? I mean, you know, to just call a spade, you know, it's like the key to authenticity is being responsible for everything, mm-hmm. including the ugly, the bad, the the part, the dark, the shadow. But I'm telling you, then you meet people who do accept you, you know, because it's definitely a lonely trip, but I think it's a lot less lonely because at this point, more and more of us really, our souls are expressing themselves through our beings because we are, you know, it's like what Alana said last week, you know, she just stopped caring about what other people said and started choosing for herself. I mean, it's like, that's the thread.
Yeah,
that's
enormous.
The thread. Yeah, and it's enormous for all of us. Because once we don't need another to ascend, we find those who also don't. Because there's such, the relationships are so different when they're sovereign and not codependent. I mean, oh my God, there's no guilt. There's flexibility. There's understanding and compassion. And it's not just the words, but every cell in their body is, you know, wrenching their teeth. It's real. I mean, it's true understanding of whatever's going on. Okay, it's cool. Are you having a panic attack? You got to leave? Okay, that's cool. Are you tired? You want to go to sleep? Okay, that's cool. You're a head case? Okay, that's cool. All three of those things happened at the party, and all three of those things were fine. I mean, I just love that. Because nobody has, there's no expectations, there's no attachments to how it looks or how it's supposed to be. It's just people showing up, 100% responsible for where they're at. That's it.
That's the company I love keeping, because that was what I was, you know, that's the nurturing I was looking for, which is being in that environment where that's an authentic environment, because I don't want to be in that other kind of environment where, you know, there's all this false pretense and, you know, conditioning.
Well, they're vampires. They're vampires. Let's call it what it is. Yeah, well, they're trying to suck your energy. Without giving back, because I don't want other people's energy in all that. I want them to be self-empowered as I feel self-empowered.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, I'm not looking for anybody to cling on to me, and I'll be honest with you, when it starts happening, I can feel it, and, you know, I'm quick to go, got to go. And, you know, and it's so funny. You want to know how it's happening? Stop calling somebody, or like in me and Simon's case, if we stop talking online and watch them freak out. I mean, just, they start rambling these whole drama scenarios. And it's like all you did was stop communicating. But what happened? You cut off their feed.
Mm.
And when somebody's feeding on you and they get their food cut off, like any animal, you're going to start getting, they get cranky. I mean, you know, it's very easy to catch. but once you're in that established place, I think people get it because I think there's an underlying part to the people whose journey it is to be organic. They want to be around you. But you become Teflon. You're not sticky. People will say, you know, like Alana will say all the time, oh, Goldie's going to give you a little tough love, is she? And it's like, it feels like tough love because it's not serving the condition.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Serving the soul. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why. Are you still not wearing a seatbelt?
I'm still not wearing a seatbelt, babe. Exactly right. And if I drive cars that beep or whatever, I click it behind me and say, and it's beautiful, though, because everybody can make those choices. You know, every choice for themselves. Everybody.
I know.
That's the beauty.
It's so true.
That is the beauty.
It's so true.
And here's the funny part, because even when I'm a head case, which is so interesting, I'm starting to recognize, and at least from the party, my head case didn't seem to bother anybody because I'm not projecting it onto them. I'm a head case all into myself. but I'm not projecting. Oh, God, I'm getting all congested.
There is a difference.
Because if I was a head case and they were uncomfortable, they would have left.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny that you could be just a clean, genuine head case. And is there...
Yes, I think I want to be the poster child for that, too. I'm a clean, genuine head case.
therefore, you won't leave my party because, you know.
Well,
they're
right. Exactly. Because that's the beauty of the sovereignty. You can go through your process. Because what I'm finally starting to learn is that I can go through my processes, you know, because I've basically reconditioned myself to, if I go through processes, go alone, you know. Because it was always a conscious choice. Don't puke on other people, Goldie. Go alone. But I've integrated enough that I can be a head case and not have the need to make you feel terrible because I don't feel so good. In fact, they become the motivation. It's like, get out of your head, Goldie. You know, do some breathing, relax. I mean, and we started playing pool. I wasn't a total head case the whole night. I mean, I was definitely, to be honest, from 12 to 2, which is when I thought everybody would have left, when they stayed, it just comforted me. And then I relaxed, you know, because from 7 to 12, I could feel my body going, you know, where's the wine? I just want a few sips of wine. You know, God, it'd be great to just have like a little shot of something. And it was like, but, you know, okay, but that's because it's all new to me. I will definitely master not drinking at parties. I'm delighted to master that.
I think you're real close to it.
Right, exactly. Because alcohol has never really been, like I said, I don't even really like the taste of it. So it's just reconditioning that to find my sweet spot. Because ultimately, alcohol doesn't relax me. Alcohol just makes me not care about what I'm doing. And the response that I got from my friends was, they don't care what I'm doing, so why should I?
It's so funny because, you know, when you notice, you know, you start a show and you don't really know. You know, we knew we were going to just be talking about our experiences and how they, you know, and then you end up talking about past experiences and how, if you go through things that, and you own stuff, that you end up getting, you know, these weekends like we had. And but there is a thread here about conditioning and breaking the conditioning, because I really think that that's where, and by the way, not owning parts of yourself are conditioned. We are taught not to. We are taught, you know, look at the other guy. What's wrong with them? Don't dare think about what, you know, the owning, what, you know, it's always about, you know, what mom goes, what, you see somebody in class you don't like? Well, what part of you is that person?
I get that. I'll be honest with you, though, you want to bet if they were around conversations, in other words, instead of telling the kid, if that was just the conversation going on between the parents, the kids would definitely pick up on it.
No, I know. So that's like the new breaking of the conditioning would be that. But for now, so many of us are breaking conditioning. And, you know, even and pretty much everything artificial and not authentic is probably all conditioning. You know, so.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And
sorry.
See, because the soul, the soul intuitively knows this. I mean, it just, it knows that it's okay to be whole. It's because it's so funny. I'm really getting with a lot of people the difference between when their words are saying it and when their cells are saying it. Because,
yeah, it's so funny because I used that word at the end of the weekend this weekend. I went, you know, out of my mouth came, I just feel it cellularly. And
exactly.
I was like, and you know, I think that wasn't a common word to be spoken there. And I was like, you know, and it was probably interesting to some people, you know, like,
reference word. It's a great reference. You know,
Because even Patrick was talking about, he goes, you know, it's not really about the head and or the heart. It's about the entire body. The body.
Exactly.
The body is intelligent. It's intelligent everywhere. It's a system of intelligence, you know, and it's like, so feel with your body, sense with your body. It's not about, oh, my head or my heart or, you know, so.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's funny.
I totally
resonate
with that.
Because you and I have been talking about that.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, and the interesting thing is, and we'll probably say this so much that, you know, maybe people start rolling their eyes going, oh, here they are again. But the thing is I do think that the timeline that we're in now is fostering the authentic, you almost like, once you're on this path, it's just the authentic is like running the show, you
it
know?
Running
and
the show. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really think so, and you know, and you're kind of. I mean, I'm in like awe a lot. You know, when you said, you know, it's and the dreams come true, or remember when I used to say maybe I don't know 3 months ago, I'm going these small miracles just keep happening. But you know, I mean, I'll tell a really like you know this is like the IRS tax boring story, but there's. There's like a there's great teaching in every story.
Of course, that's the point. Yes,
including even a dental story.
Okay,
it's so funny. It's like, oh, Jeanine has tax stories, dental stories, shopping cart stories. It's like
this is the extraordinary in the ordinary. That's exactly where this is found.
And this is like you know, okay. So I was supposed to leave very early Friday morning to go to Toronto to do this great weekend. And I noticed on Wednesday my one tooth started bothering me, but very slightly. And I went, huh. You know, and I called the dentist, and of course, most doctors for some reason don't work on Wednesdays. I'm not really sure why, but
yeah, that
anyway,
is interesting.
No,
right. That's her
so
Saturday.
No one was there.
Okay.
No one was there, you know, so I said, all right, well, I'm going to call on Thursday. No, I left a message, and I said, so I'll try to fit it in on Thursday, even though I have a really busy day, which was stuff in the morning, early in the morning. Then I had I was teaching a private art class at 5, and then I was doing the show with you at 8.
Right.
So I left a message with the dentist, and I gave him the hours that would work for me, because I really thought, I can't go away, because I know there's something going on, and I didn't want to go and sit in a setting where I have a tooth that's starting to increasingly bother me. So
Totally.
All right, so the dentist goes, sorry, but the only thing available is 4:20. So I I'm not one to want to break an appointment with an art student at all. But I go, Jeanine, priorities. And so I call the mom of the little girl, and she goes, and I explain that I need to go away, but I can only take this appointment. Hold on 1 second. I got what you have, I think. And
I know.
must be something in the air. Anyway, so she said, actually, that works out really better for me anyway.
Right on.
Hold on, my throat.
Okay, I'm drinking water too. And at some point, I might have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, great.
Because I'm drinking a lot of water.
So, no, but my throat's really bothering me. That we might have to play a song.
Okay. Well, I'm cool with that.
Or Angelus. But wait.
Come on,
so,
I there you go. We could do that
story.
Too, actually.
So, yeah, we could do Angelus. So, but anyway.
We will.
So,
Okay.
It was perfect that here I was, you know, battling with, should I cancel? And I went, you have to cancel. And then it turned out, it was
okay,
really
wait, and I got to interrupt. Because you were nurturing yourself. That's the note. You were
nurturing myself. I put a priority first for the body, for myself, for my weekend. It was the smart thing to do. Hold on.
See, that's the key.
This is so weird.
There's no specific
action that is right and or wrong. It's in the moment there is right action. It can be the next time, it could be right action for her not to cancel the appointment. You know,
yeah,
it's never about a stationary answer. You do this all the time and it's the right thing to do. It's about reading the moment for the moment in the moment. Okay, go ahead.
Right. And,
are you okay?
And so then, And then, so I go to the dentist and literally there was the tiniest little like seed covering under my gum that caused a little tiny infection that in 10 minutes was taken care of and handled. And guess what? I felt like 95%
amazing.
Better. And
right.
And if I hadn't gone, I would have went and been progressively miserable because it would have only gotten worse. So I was, once again, I was like, wow, there was just something about that correct decision making that really just struck me as there's something going on about decision making, right action. And, you know, it just, I mean, and I don't know that I would have noticed something like this as much and or it would have made that much of a difference, because all I'm saying is I'm noticing these moments of clarity that are sticking out now, and I'm just going, wow. And it's like, oh, and I love this about the David Wilcox thing. He goes, chicken or the egg? He goes, it's the both. It's not
it's
chicken
both.
Or the egg.
Right.
It's chicken and the egg. And
exactly.
I really think that, and you know, it's funny, Goldie knows me because I'm going, yeah, what is it, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. And basically, so over the weekend, listening to David Wilcox in my hotel room, because Goldie sent it to me, he goes, yeah, it's not the chicken or the egg or the egg or the chicken. It's the chicken and the egg. And I'm like,
yeah.
And what's happening is these little moments of clarity are, they're like, they strike you as like, wow. And they're everyday things.
And yet they're deeply profound, but they're
right.
also
so,
simultaneously
right.
deeply profound.
That's what's so amazing to me. So you know, talk about, you know, what is it? The mustard seed and moves the mountain, or, you know, it's like these little
things. Well, the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Indeed.
Right. These little things are the mustard seeds that move the mountains. They are, because I mean, if people know me well enough now to listen to the radio show, I notice these things, and I'm noticing them. You know, I'm noticing that.
Yeah, right.
These small moments, like you being a basket case, and then your friend saying you're fine.
Yeah,
and you were.
Cool. It's cool. I was fine to be a basket case. Because, see, that's the key of that moment. She didn't say I was fine once I calmed down. Because how many of us have been told in that proverbial, will you just calm down? Nothing pisses me off more than when someone tells me to calm down. It's so funny how that reacts in me. Because I'm like, don't you tell me what to do. You know, but she wasn't telling me to calm down. She was just going, okay, so be a head case. I mean, it was just that simple acceptance. Literally, like with the lady, you know, when her anger just went poof, it was like, wow. I mean, it was just a truly profound, because it was just, it's showing us, because for me, my dream is to be accepted, but the ultimate dream is for me to be real and be accepted. Because I know what it's like to be a chameleon. I have all my life in relationships, you know, if I dated a guy who liked basketball, I learned basketball and I was a great cheerleader. Or if they liked baseball, I learned baseball. I mean, I just had this ability to soak up information, you know, and be their perfect spouse. I mean,
yeah.
But that's not what I'm doing anymore. And I'm not, forget it, it's not even just happening in my intimate relationships, like, you know, with boyfriends. This is happening just in my friendships. You know, where it's like, listen, if you don't like, because we had one couple that went home the husband had a panic attack, and the only one he talked to was me for about 15 minutes. I mean, meaning nobody had, they were the first couple here. Scott was still running around getting ready. I was downstairs with them. We spoke. Now, it's interesting because, like, I can tell you that I spoke to him. Now, you see how I talk to Janine? Like, Janine will say something, and if I kind of disagree, you know, I'll go, okay, but wait, you know, that, but, you know, and then I'll say something, I'll add something to it. Like, well, I don't see it that way. You know, I see it this way. And
yeah,
Janine, you handle me, you know, truly like a harp. You just, you know, and I handle you, you know, meaning there's a synergy where I don't offend you, you're not competing, you're not insecure, you're not, you know what I'm saying? There's just, it's such a genuine, we just converse and let each other share, and because you trigger me in not in a negative, like, you say things and I'm like, oh, I want to share something from that thought. You just triggered something in me. And
yeah.
But I got the distinct feeling, he, when I was speaking to him in the same manner, he took it very differently. And
you and I are welcoming to each other. And I was thinking that, you know, you might be, quote, foreign territory, because I'm not sure if a person's not, you know, used to relating like that. Yeah, there could be almost a jarring, you know, whereas you and I are symbiotic and we are welcoming to each other. And that's nice. I mean, you can feel it. And but yeah.
You can definitely feel it. Definitely.
Yeah.
But see, that's what I say. You know, see that it wasn't necessary. I mean, because to be honest, I'm not going to apologize for who I am. But I'm going to say I understand if you can't be friends with me. You know, because
yeah.
Meaning, you know, I don't. In all honesty, this couple are very nice. They're recovering, born again Christians, and they're deeply recovering. I mean, this is about childhood to, you know, several years, you know, as active participants in born again Christianity, and they're a lovely couple. But I'm a tsunami of presence, and.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned that I will not apologize for that. And
yeah.
And that doesn't mean I won't apologize. If I fuck up, I'll apologize. but I will not apologize for being a tsunami of presence because I've integrated myself. I do have my sea legs on. I'm ready for storms because I've welcomed back the pieces that are dark and ugly in me. And I'm not saying that they have or they haven't, but if my strength becomes, you know, too much for them, okay, then, you know, it's all good, but it was interesting, it was all available at the party, because, you know, Scott was like, you know, he was very kind to them, too, because we all said, listen, we're all head cases, because I completely understood, I was like, I totally get, if you're uncomfortable, you got to go, I mean, I've been living that way for, like, the last 10 years,
yeah.
Where I haven't done, you know, I've walked into a place, and I mean, immediately go, I'm not comfortable. I don't want to be here. I got to go. I mean, and to be honest, I'm so confident in myself. I don't ask. I got to go. I have told people, in fact, Trisha, I've left a party of hers, going, I just got to go. And she's like, why? And I was like, I will tell you later. Now is not the time. I just got to go.
Right.
And she goes, go. I'm like, right on. You know, and then, you know, you call up the next day and go, I'm sorry. And she's like, no big deal. I mean, because... Like, they asked me, it was like, did we ruin your good time? And I was like, no, I was at my party. You know, I said, you just, you know, life hit you. And you responded how you responded. And me and Scott invited them over again and, to be courteous,
yeah.
And let them know that. Because she was like, you know, did we ruin your time? It's like, no, of course you didn't ruin my good time. You know, you're just dealing with what's coming up in your life. And right on. That's...
Yeah,
I live
there,
in those spaces.
That.
Been there,
you know,
done that. And
there,
they're still
that.
Doing that. Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it
I
was
mean,
some.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Remember,
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, I remember even in Wisconsin, remember there was a time where.
Yeah.
You had
right
to leave
on.
And you left. And, you know, it was self-care. You know, just like me
well,
knowing I needed
exactly.
to go to the dentist.
Exactly. Well, and no, I want to mention. mentioned, by the way, Janine catches the subtle things. Even a little subtle little casing of a little poppy seed you caught. Even your physical is little.
We're talking, they said, a lot of people wouldn't even, they wouldn't know to come here. I'm like, get out.
Mm-hmm,
I'm like, yeah, it's like I'm very sensitive to knowing when something's off, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which surprised me because I was like, no way. Everyone would notice that. And they're like, no, you'd be surprised.
Oh, my God. Think about how people, listen, I have a friend of mine who broke his neck and didn't notice it.
Oh, well, this is
I'm not kidding. That's bizarre.
That is kind of wild. Okay,
that's bizarre. Come on.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. But no, so how about, I don't think we ever shared my CO, was it the carbon?
Okay. We might have shared it on another reality show, but share it.
No, I don't think I did. But I think we never got there. And I said, well, that's good because we don't want to end on a carbon monoxide story. So here's another, you know, there's the tax story, there's the dental story, the shopping cart story, and now there's the carbon monoxide story. No, so talk about
okay, tell the story. I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right.
Okay, I'll tell the story.
All right, thanks.
So this was about, I guess, the point of the story is about sensitivity and sort of sensing something, because I thought that maybe I had a stomach ache or a headache, and but this house I live in is old and it has a lot of holes in air, and so for some reason out of nowhere I said to my brother, do you think that it's possible that there's carbon monoxide? And he said, No, I don't feel it. I'm fine. And I said, oh, okay. And he goes, well, I guess we could look. And we go downstairs, and he says, wow. He goes, the piping is so old that there's holes. There's a hole, and there's a crack. And the thing is that the carbon monoxide sensors hadn't gone off, but it wasn't really that the carbon monoxide had really gathered in the room and was creating symptoms for me as much as something tipped my body off or me off to just look at the piping. And, even though my brother said, no, I don't feel anything, he said, all right, well, let's look. And there it was, and he replaced all the piping to the point where now there was integrity in the system,
nice.
Because when there's holes or cracks, there's not integrity. So the thing was is that, Goldie brought this up to me that, and even my brother said to me, he goes, you're so sensitive that you sense that something was off, but not necessarily that there were levels of carbon monoxide in the room because the sensors hadn't gone off or anything. He said, but there's just like, a sensing, or it's like, okay, let's go check the carbon monoxide piping, and
that it was out of integrity. It didn't matter the degree; you just knew
right.
It was out of integrity.
Right, and somehow it was my body, even if like it had my quote stomach ache, which was so minuscule, and something was telling me something, and I just picked it, and to this day I still go, wow, why did I even say that? Like, that was, I've been living here for 11 years. The carbon monoxide, monitors didn't go off. It's like really weird,
right.
But,
right.
This is just the examples of sensing, something and acting on it. And you know what? It was right. And so...
Well, multidimensional living. I mean, this is literally the soul fills all the space in your house. It's like...
Yeah,
it's so much. The rules of the game are changing. I mean,
right.
They're changing with or without us, with or without our permission or our acceptance of it. The rules of the game are changing, but if we do choose to change with the rules and go through, you know, this clarity is happening literally on a worldwide level. It's just the tip of the iceberg, you know, we have so much potential. It's so funny because I've been watching so many videos lately that are showing me, you know, I get that, you know, if you're not used to change and the unknown scares you, I can understand being, you know, really on edge right now because we are deep in the unknown and deep into change that's happening so much, you know. Was that a sneeze?
No, it was a little, it's a cough.
Okay.
I'm fine, though. But over the course of the radio show, it's like, oh, now my throat's funny, too, but I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have water with you?
I do.
Okay, good. As long as you know.
No,
I should have had you make tea. Okay, because if you need tea, make tea. So what was I saying?
about the multidimensional living in the now, and it's changing even if, you know, we...
Oh, the rate of change, right. The rate of change is awful.
And if you don't like
change
and uncertainty, you could get nervous right now or fearful.
Well, panicky. Who are we kidding? I can understand panic if you're not...
Yeah.
The toolbox is no longer a hammer, you know, a wrench, and pliers. The toolbox is now fluidity, flexibility, acceptance, trust. I mean, I know it sounds kind of, you know, bizarre, but that's what this time is showing us. Because as soon as we encompass the new tools, the experience goes from, you know, panic and suffering and struggle to amazing, imaginative journeys and adventures that are, we're just starting off at the top of this mountain. This snowball is going to accumulate. And, you know, leading up to 2012 and or December 21st, 2012, you know, and and March 21st, 2013, it's like, you know, we're living in one of the greatest times in human history.
It's a really good point because I'll tell you, it's a really good point that, it is such a magnificent time. You know, wouldn't it be nice to enjoy the magnificence of it rather than fretting and wasting valuable time on being, you know, nervous about something that's inevitable but not necessarily like, you know, the dreaded, because once again, what you were talking about, the smoking, you know, can be anything can be ruined by manipulation and warping the way you see things by the conditioning and manipulated, intention of like, hey, you know, this is a magnificent time for people and human beings. And it's like, wouldn't it be the greatest trick to not let people think that, you know.
Right. It's the flip side of the confusion.
Exactly.
The flip side of the confusion is the sheer ecstasy of the adventure.
Exactly. And that's exactly right. And so, you know, I mean, if you or I...
So they both exist. Sorry.
They do. They both exist. And now is the time to, like, entertain the fact that this is magnificent, not scary.
Well, and again, and yes, totally. Now, I want people to know that I get when I'm in the midst of my integration, it's dark, it's painful, you know what I mean? When I'm feeling abandonment or all those feelings. But my truth is, and check the archives, I still know I'm on course. See, I don't worry that I've done something wrong. I don't worry that I'm not going to be loved. I really don't worry about that anymore. I'm having a kind of a deeper noticing of that as I say this. I just know it's a part of me that wants to come home. And the pain is still painful, but it's never the pain of being lost, never the pain of, I'm not confused. Because simply from the perspective of I'm not projecting anything that it has to be a certain way. It's whatever shows up in my life I deal with, and I'm happy to deal with the integration, just as happy to deal with the the level of enlightenment that comes after the integration, you know, the joyful space of the celebration of, oh, great, you know, because right now I'm just enjoying the integration. My next challenge or whatever hasn't arrived yet. It might not. You know, I'm imagining I still got a few to go. I can tell by who I was at the party on Saturday. It's not a drudgery. I mean, I hear people say often, you know, God, how long are we going to have to clear? And it's like, well, why are you making it such a negative experience? Because remember, everything is up to us to define. So, I mean, now here's the beauty of it. You really can actually define pain as a valuable experience. Because ask anybody who's integrating, it is a valuable experience. It really, really, because remember, teaching ourselves to accept the pain back into our beings also simultaneously teaches us to accept the joy back into our beings. You know, feeling is feeling. A broken heart is an open heart. These are all, you know, synonymous to understanding the new toolkits with the new definitions. And in my humble opinion, if you shoot for these new definitions and these new tools, then it makes no matter what your personal experience that you're going to go through much, much easier, effortless. Effortless, yeah. Truly. You can live it effortlessly right now. Be fluid. Be what is happening happening.
It's like conflict and, conflict and, you know, if you want to put pain in there with conflict, these are absolute necessary parts of, you know, you can't really have the growth without them. So
you can't.
We've been conditioned to think something's wrong. And, you know, that's not true. So, you know, something's right because you're actually being asked to look at something. It's really part of the whole.
Yes.
And so it's another, you know, again, shift in perspective. You know, because I'll share that I did like a drumming journey and it was fantastic. And although I didn't really know what went on, because that's the nature of sometimes those things where you're not quite sure, you know, how far, how deep you went. But when I came out of it, what I got was, the thing about when you get information in those places, you really, you know, part of my, like, say my head part of me would go, really, is that true? But, you know, the one thing you can do is trust that kind of information coming out of those depths of those places. But it was basically, what I got was that it's an illusion that our burdens actually suppress, depress, or cut our power. You know, and, you know, that explanation could be looked at in so many different ways, that it's not that my burdens are an illusion, but it's an illusion that my burdens suppress my power. So you could even take the word burdens out and put pain or
challenges.
Any of those things, and just say it's, you know, you can acknowledge that they're there. But it's an illusion to think that they actually depress or suppress our power. That's us thinking they do. Because you've been conditioned to think they do. And they don't. And so
It's the opposite, actually.
It's so the opposite. So basically what I realized was that in this simplistic, exercise or practice of, you know, someone giving you the gift of a drum journey, I had, without, you know, asking for it, you know, on a conscious level, I had a real shift in a perspective that came out of nowhere again, you know. It was like, there it is. And the funny thing was, is that what part of me goes, really? And I went, Janine, this is talking to myself, I'm going, Janine, if you could trust anything, trust the information coming out of that place. You know, so You know, so there it was.
Well, trust the simplicity, too. We don't trust simplicity.
I know.
Again, from a conditioned space, the simplicity is so often overlooked because, oh, that's too simple. But, you know, that's what they're counting on. They're counting for us, you know, the power
that
be, so to speak.
No, that's exactly right. Oh, that's so, it's so simple, it's ridiculous. It's like, no.
Right.
No,
right.
It's so simple, it's true.
Exactly. It's divine, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So you know, there's so much in that comment because, you know, it's not that the burdens or the pain are a mistake or they're wrong. It's just an illusion that they cut our power. It's really the opposite, like Goldie said. Your power never goes away. We just believe it does, or we... You know, so it's just like, you know, out of that, you could almost pretty much write an entire book. You know what I mean? Like, there's so
literally,
much information.
Yeah.
There's so
yeah.
much information in that one, you know, understanding or, you know, concept. And, yeah, so, you know,
and it's applicable to all of us because, Simon, feel free to write something.
That's why
I'm
sharing.
Yeah. And it's definitely applicable to all of us because if the goal is to ascend in any way, shape, or form, that it literally is about gathering up the pieces that have given the illusion that we're separate. Now, of course, they're not really separate, but there's something in – oops, knocked down my water. There's something in the process of bringing it back in, like, you know, it's like having that conversation with little Cindy behind the couch.
Yeah.
I told my friend that on the phone tonight because I was like, I go, this was the realization I had recently that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was my mother that needed, you know, the love and the support of feeling abandoned. I was just picking up on her. When I shared that wisdom with my friend, I mean, she was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I go, because your sister is playing out her and your mother's role in their dynamic. You know, it was one of those, God, there are times when I have, you know, when I share experiences that are so right on for the moment that I literally felt like I got that wisdom so I could share it with my friend on the phone today. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I love sharing it on the air and everything, but it was something that, you know, she had known me at 4 years old. You know, there was just this deep ancestral healing that you could tell. Her mother and my mother were best friends, and it was almost like my mother in the etheric called her mother over in the etheric and went, you know, we need the girls to talk. This will help both of us. You know what I mean? It was because she
yeah.
basically came on Facebook and goes, listen, I'm having a bad day. Can you talk? And I was like, you know. And it's interesting because at first when I looked, I was like, yes. And I when I told her to call, I was like immediately prepared to say, okay, this won't be a bitch session. And it's interesting because I'm getting better at, it's not that I say it's not a bitch session. I just redirect the conversation where I let her talk, and then I go, okay, but you have to take it in yourself. This has to be self-responsible. You know, it's a reflection. So, because I'm learning that, you know, I'll listen to her for a bit, and then I'll drop my seeds. I feel like I'm, you know, I'm pollinating
yeah.
here, yes.
Yeah.
And then after a while of doing this dance, you know, and I'm telling you, there were moments of silence where I could feel it going in. And then I'll just go, okay, listen, sweetie, you know, let's get together next week and do lunch or whatever. And then I hung up. You know, I didn't, because I said
yeah.
to her at one point, I go, do you feel better? And she's like, I always feel better after I talk to you. And you can tell because her cells, she calls me for confirmation about her life, but what she ends up really getting is the confirmation that she has her best interest in heart, or she can remember to be her best interest in heart. You know what I'm saying? You know, because it's not an energetic. I'm not energetically feeding her to make her feel or take. Let me. In her case, it's not a feeding. I'm not energetically taking her I feel like shit on to make her feel better. And in my early days of like Reiki and stuff, I would
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, it's a completely different way of relating with
completely. I mean, this is, you know, I'm very highly
skilled at not taking anybody's stuff because that's not my goal and that's not where I want to be. But I'm learning in the dance of again, taking in my own shadow side. People trust when someone talks about that because she can feel I'm doing it. You know, and the presence that comes from that is the presence she desires. Well, you know, she just doesn't know how to get there. And it's like, okay, well, you know, here it is. You know, because I was like, I said, because it's so funny, Janine, I've been telling everybody, yes, oxygen and movement are very healthy, even if it's 20 minutes. Everybody knows that's what, Janine tells me that all the time. And it's, I told Kelly that the mom that I've yet to work for, she was saying she was tired. I was like, oh, that's easy. You know, breathe a little oxygen, do a nice, easy walk, 20 minutes, and you're good again. And I also told my friend this as well. I was like, listen, you should get outside, do some breathing. She's like, I'm going to go for a walk. I went, perfect. Perfect.
You know what's so funny? You know, I'm just getting, you know, it's funny in an amazing way, like perfect way, like the full circle way, like the, you know, it's kind of like, okay, so it was completely unpredictable, but like shouldn't be at this point, that when you had the conversation with little Cindy from behind the couch, that the awareness that there was your mother's dynamic and, you know, that you were picking it up, right? And then the fact that now you can share, and that was a truly, like, you know, wow, you know, kind of one of those, like I had yesterday where, you know, out of nowhere, I get, you know, it's an illusion that the burdens are, you know, cut power, that it's no, not right. And then, you know, out of nowhere, you get this, well, out of exploring with Cindy, you get this wisdom of, you know, that it was your mother's dynamic. And then you get to share it with your friend, and it just shows me how there's these, I don't know, these, like, you know, we do things for ourselves, but then how they affect other people. And I was, it was so weird what a very simple thing dawned on me, that when in 1993, when I deliberately put myself on a vision quest, in the darkness to confront my fear of the dark, you know, in the middle of nowhere. You can be in your, you know, in your nice little locked up house and go, oh, I'm not going to sleep with the light on. Okay,
right.
That's great.
Not
that's
the
nice.
Same thing. Yeah, not
no.
the same
but
thing.
Now you're in the desert and the mountains and, you know, there's coyotes and wild, you know, boars and, you know, nobody's around except, you know,
and you're alone. I mean, Janine, I've never done it alone. I mean,
you're completely alone in the dark. You're hearing every
that is vulnerability.
Right, but here's the cool thing, because I'm really appreciating this more than ever now in this, how this affects people, where, like, by the very nature of the fact that I found the magic gown in a riverbed the next morning after the first night that I confronted my own dark, that the gift is that everyone else who encounters that magic gown story is on some level encountering their own dark, because that was the whole intention of mine, which then is basically then becomes anyone else who's touched by it. It's basically then what happened, they're touched by it. And it's like...
Yeah, no, right on, right on. That's a field of consciousness you've created.
That is a field of consciousness because... And
yes.
That makes so much sense to me now more than ever. You know, like, it makes more sense to me now than it did 15 minutes ago. That's how like,
nice.
I just saw it. You know, it's like, wow. Because
nice.
What the story of you telling your friend about you, little Cindy, and how you got that it was your mother, and like, and then you could feel that, and that her sister is acting out and feeling a dynamic that which is absolutely true, because the whole theory about what happens at the top affects the below, which is the hierarchy thing, that is so accurate that it's that you gave that your friend, and hopefully she'll like kind of integrate that, like, without even thinking about it, even it can sort of seep into her, but that you gave her your experience, like, my gown holds the experience of facing the dark. So anyone
right
who
on.
Comes into contact with this story comes into the contact of that. You know, it's like, that amazes me.
Yeah, that's soul. That's how the soul works through dimensions and timelines and connects with people that, you know, that are supposed to find that energy. You know, that's the law of attraction at its finest, definitely.
At its finest,
definitely.
Right. And it's timeless because, you know.
Right, because it can exist, I mean, on the radio show. I mean, it won't necessarily exist in the conversation between me and my friend in the sense of I had to put it out there. But we're talking about it on the radio. I mean, the radio becomes literally just, it like the book, it's just a beacon, you know, serving the expression of the soul, and it's not like fruit on, you know, in the produce section. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't lose its strength. It's an isness that's there forever.
Yeah.
It's eternal.
And it's like,
pretty amazing.
It is, right? Because, I'm really getting that now, and I'm going, well, my God, that is the power of sort of passing on the word, you know, or the image or the story. It's or the, you know, you pass on, but you're passing on so much. I mean, it's really cool because it is soulful. It is like multi-dimensional. It's talk about, I'll take it a step further and talk about changing the DNA. That's what it does. It goes right in there and goes.
You're right on. You are right. Wait till you see Barbara Hubbard, Marx Hubbard's video. Like, you're quoting her right now. Well, it's so funny because this is what I'm starting. It's the one I was telling you about, Simon. Same video. And it's posted on my wall for anybody who's listening, the Barbara Marx Hubbard YouTube. What's so interesting about this is, well, what's so interesting is Goldie completely lost her train of thought just now.
how I was basically
Barbara
Marks quoting her.
Well, this is what's amazing me lately is, I mean, Barbara Marx Hubbard, she's really, you know, 82 years old. She's been on, quote-unquote, the scene for, you know, a very long time. George Kavassalis, David Wilcox. It seems to me at this point, the wisdom that's getting shared is starting to actually become universal, but from many avenues. You know, it's coming from whistleblowers. It's coming from ufologists, so to speak. And ironically, none of it is coming from, quote-unquote, channelers, which is where I have spent most of my time seeking my answers. The thing that I'm finding, and I'm actually finding this the words to say it as I say it, is I'm finding my resonance with people who have genuinely experienced what they're sharing, not just channeling an energy of wisdom. I mean, because it's exactly what you just said, Janine. In your book is the actual experience of you facing your fears in the desert. That is actually inherent in the book.
Yeah.
Well, and inherently, channelers are wonderful. I mean, but inherently, they don't experience what they're sharing. It's just words of how to be. It hasn't come necessarily. That's why there's a lot of channelers who are, quote unquote, head cases. As Goldie raises her hand, yes, that. I'm learning more and more how speak of the experience. You know, and I'll still use, you know, support from, you know, from other teachers, so to speak, or other people's experiences. But what's really the game changer right now is me sharing, you know, it's the authenticity. It's living through, you know, the integration. It's walking the journey of, you know, having a party and you know, not drinking and then
or not, or telling everybody, okay, no alcohol, and then having three of the guys, which I don't know, that just really surprised me. I would have thought a girl would have said this, but three of the guys going, so glad that, you know, not only is there no alcohol at the party, but you're pretty much, you know, just an alcohol-free lifestyle. And it's like, totally, totally. I mean, like, I mean, that's just like, wow, life is changing. That's a game changer for me. Because, I mean, it's just so, it's so magical. It's so magical. There is,
yeah, well,
there is,
you know,
much,
I mean,
magic here. Much magic.
I am not a Puritan at all, but I have to say that, you know, I lived in the 70s and the 80s, but I will say that for me, I have no desire for alcohol. And it's not because I'm like, ooh, that's bad. It just doesn't resonate with me. I'm not saying that if my book was had a big book party or my son's album was fantastic, we had a big party that, you know, I wouldn't have a great glass of champagne or something. But alcohol in general on a daily basis, it just doesn't, it has nothing to do with me with this. I don't crave it. I don't want it. But there's a certain... There's a certain clarity and that an alertness of I don't know that I don't want to suppress. It's just I'm too, I don't know, like, you know, it's like seeing so clearly, like, it's like, I don't want to bring that down, you know, and so. Yeah, so I
well, it's pulling off the layers, right? It's pulling off the layers that say,
I would rather go to a party.
Are you ready to feel it all head on?
Yeah.
You know, literally,
yeah.
Are you ready? Because I admit, I still smoke pot. And that, you know, it has to be said, because I'm not going to sit here and preach that I'm, you know,
right.
I'm a totally sober being. I'm not.
I don't believe in all this puritanical, you know, nothing.
No, I know.
No, but
listen,
saying,
but I do think
just,
it needs to be addressed that you do go through life sober. And there that, I mean, I personally, you know, it almost seems like that, what do they call the silent hero? You know, the one that doesn't do any vices. Well, God bless you, are completely going through life sober.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know, that.
But you also don't want to make, you know, first, number one, be afraid of it. You also, number one, don't want to make, you know, people wrong. I'm just saying there's
absolutely correct. Nobody's right. Wrong here. Nobody's wrong.
But no, but I've just noticed in terms of stability, clarity, awareness, alertness, my body, like, sensing things. My brother said, well, you're just so... You just sense things, and it's like, but I don't cloud my senses or suppress any. I just, and it's not because I'm like going, no, because they're really bad for you. It's just I'm not drawn to it. And so, you know, I was thinking.
So then you're just being authentic. You just,
I would
right.
love
you're just
to go to
authentic.
A party with no alcohol, because I, you know, it'd be really nice to be able to go to a party and not have to think that you need alcohol to have a good time. I mean, that's another.
Well,
condition.
And I'll be honest with you though. I would imagine that you could easily go to a party with no alcohol and truly not only have one head case there, but have several head cases.
Right.
I mean, I can easily see it being, you know, a party filled with me as opposed to a party filled with my friends. You know, it's like, because alcohol is part of the conditioning of, I mean, how many of us, I can remember before going on dates, you know, just chugging down two shots just to relax and,
But
you know,
guess,
I mean.
You know, but the funny thing is about alcohol, because, you know, it has its medicinal qualities, and in the past it was called spirits, and, you know, I do think that there's something to that, just like the abuse of tobacco has given it a bad name, and the abuse of alcohol has given it a bad name. But, you know, let's not forget that major billions of dollars go into the marketing of these things, you know, so, you know, that there's a real influence there that's corrupt to me. You know, but, you know, like I said, if I had a really good reason to celebrate, like, you know, just something fun, I would definitely have a glass of champagne.
And I'd like to say that I wanted to make a note that I can't promise you at the next party I won't have alcohol. I mean, because I'm going to myself, well, I already said that it's never the action. It's not an action that has to be repeated in order for it to be right space, right time. It's the moment. I mean, I cannot promise that.
No, and you shouldn't promise. And I'm not either.
Right, right.
I prefer to be in the moment. Like, you know, and that's the most authentic thing for me. But I have noticed that I go through days and days and days and days of where alcohol is not an issue. But I'm enjoying so much this place I'm in. I'm like, wow, it feels so good. You know, you're sort of, quote, on a roll. You know, it feels good. You know?
Yeah,
I hope I
can find that good place. I mean, because I'm good not drinking other than the party, but I think as we have more gatherings, it'll help me master this, because I haven't mastered it yet.
I would like to know how the cake was.
Oh, the cake was awesome. I mean, Scott, the cake. It was, cake was good. Brandy's still eating chocolate.
Yeah. I saw it. It was good to me.
Thank you, Punky, for icing it. Yes, no, the cake was delicious, and I want to share what Simon wrote, because
good.
I asked him to share it, and he's feeling a little, you know, his flow is what it is. So, because I can feel there's a resistance in you, Simon. But I still want to share it because I love what you share. So he wrote, "Haha, light a circle of candles, shut off all the lights, and place a mirror in the middle and look at yourself. Supposedly scary, I can imagine it can be an interesting way to confront one's fears."
Light a circle of candles,
shut off all the lights, mm-hmm. and then look at yourself in a mirror. You know, as a way to confront yourself. Because I have done that. How many of us, when we would walk by a mirror, especially as females, you know, and just, you know, look quickly and then glance away. You know, like, I mean, there was a point where I, at one time, my house covered, when I lived on my own, I covered all the mirrors in my house, all of them, put towels over the bathrooms, the ones in, you know, other rooms. But I'll be honest with you, I found my beauty by covering the mirrors. Mm. Because I really do feel beautiful. And then I look in the mirror and go, damn, girl. But I'm like, the truth is, I don't need outside to tell me I'm beautiful to feel beautiful. I know what beauty feels like. I can feel it inside. And when I don't look at the mirror, I feel it inside. I mean, I really do. And then there's days where I can actually look and it's like, I mean, oh, you're beautiful, Goldie. I mean, and then there's days that I look and go, oh, Goldie, take a shower, Goldie.
Well, you know, also that dark with the candle glow.
Oh, with the candle, that's true.
Yeah, give you that, like, that boogeyman quality, you know, like.
Well, you'll see different faces.
Yeah,
I mean, I've actually done shape-shifting.
The scary quality, which, of course, you know, that's just another way to look at yourself, which is good, you know.
Well, absolutely, and because I'll be honest with you, when I have done that, I have seen masculine beings come out. I've also seen grotesque beings come out.
Ooh.
And I know they live in me. I mean, I know it because I see them.
Worse than the shopping
you know.
Cart lady?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this isn't your average bear, boo-boo. Yeah, it's good stuff, though. Because I mean, I definitely believe in our culture, and I would almost go as far to say even world culture, that how we feel about ourselves, our bodies, our faces, all of that needs to be addressed. You know, those are fears for all of us.
I was just thinking about my new book on, uh-oh, I made that bad guy pretty bad. Does that mean he's me?
Wait, what? You made that bad guy what?
Really bad. I was like, uh-oh. No, you talked about, what did you say? You said you have some real what coming out of you? And I was like, ooh.
Grotesque.
I was like, yeah. Ooh, I must too, because I made some good bad guys. And I was like, all right. I could just hear it now. I'm going to have to own all of this on the radio show. Yes.
That's the beauty of it, though. That's what makes you beautiful is because there's grotesque thrown in there, so to speak. I mean, that's...
No, I know. You know.
Yeah, right on.
We'll have
right
to
on.
Announce it.
I know you know.
Neen's going to own the bad guy.
Well, and we'll all know what she's talking about as soon as we get the book in our hands. This is the new book. Even though you're what were the bad guys in the magic gown? Those black and white beings?
Yeah, they're called Lacks.
Lacks, right. Lacks. Yeah, they were pretty creepy. Yeah, they were pretty nasty.
I stretched myself for that one, but but that's good, because you know.
Of course it's good. It's
true.
You
got to be able to go there. Just like just like Simon just dared us all, Hey, I like a dare.
All right, we're not going to go off the air yet, but let's say goodnight to Simon because he's not on the phone.
Good night, Simon.
So. Good night, Simon. We love you, babe. You did a good show tonight, too. You give good show, baby.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah,
that's why I like saying goodbye, because sometimes he'll even go, are you guys off yet? I'm trying to hear the archives. Even though, I it's all good.
He was funny tonight. He's sort of like challenging us. I liked it.
Yeah, totally.
No, that's perfect. I mean, that's why I love my son so much. He's really good at that. And, he looks around the house and he sees all my beautiful, colorful paintings and he goes, I think maybe you should paint black and white and do city. And I'm like, wow. Yeah, he's very much like, why don't you do something that's the opposite of, and I'm like, well, okay, maybe I will think about it, but he kind of reminds me of he's the guy that's gonna walk in the room and go, yeah, that's good, but if you thought of doing it this way,
that's interesting though, right? Because can you
raise
in your painting too? That because it
no,
almost
I
feels
actually,
like
what?
Go ahead. No,
no
well,
I actually
you,
thought, he's the one that, and he's right a lot where he pushes where.
He's the one who told you to walk into the sun.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, it's your uncomfort zone. It's your uncomfort zone.
Yeah,
I knew that.
He's very, very interesting and special, and he's very truthful. He just calls me on, he wants me to grow and stretch, and doesn't want me to get too complacent, and push yourself and. And because he walks his talk, I trust that. And he's the one at 15 when I was writing the book, or 14, because if you look at the pictures of my character named Tom Finch, it's my son, because I used him as my portrait. But he's the one that said, if you're going to do bad guys, you better make them bad. Don't do this they're kind of bad, because nobody really wants the kind of bad. So he was great. He pushed me. He pushed me to, because believe me, the part of us that wants to make life oh so pretty and nice, you got to have the other two. And it was, I really am grateful to him because he pushes. And this is the kid that went to bed every night listening to Miles Davis. So, I was.
We knew he had a little dark in him early.
I really have a lot of respect for him because he is just so great. And he never held anything back in terms of giving me the stuff that really had some teeth in it, but I liked it because our relationship was honest enough and safe enough that he could.
Yeah.
And, and I always...
As long as you give it back, too.
I always loved that about him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Because I have the same thing with Scott. It's one of the things... Literally, one of the first things I noticed about my relationship with Scott was he was like, listen, you're allowed to be ugly around me. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And, no one had ever said that to me before, and it was like, wow. I mean, I've had boyfriends who go, don't get too fat.
Right,
or
too drunk. Or
whatever it is. Yeah, no, I've never had a boyfriend say that, because I'm telling you, I'm a wild woman. I wasn't an angry drunk. I was a wild drunk.
No, I know.
but the guidelines and... you know, and I've never had a partner. And I mean, he literally said that in the first segment where we first met and we were together for like 6 months. He was like, "You can be ugly around me." I was like,
"Yeah, that's
wow."
Nice.
Yeah, I was
it's always so funny because I always thought, yeah, it's one thing to say I love you, but when someone lets you go, I hate you. It's really like,
exactly.
It's like, wow, now that's powerful. And that's
exactly.
Very loving, actually. You know, it's
yes.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I really hate you.
Yeah.
But
there's a comfortability, too, because you have to be comfortable enough to see that
real. I know. It's very,
yeah.
It's a very interesting, safe relationship when, you know, you can go there. But, and it's okay.
And yet you don't know it's safe because, I'll tell you, in the conditioning, it feels very unsafe.
Oh, yeah.
Very. That's the paradox.
See, like with someone
yeah.
like who's got the personality of my son, they're comfortable
okay.
with that. They're comfortable
yeah.
with that. But I was going to tell you on another note. This is really I'll throw this in here. So the other day, I was writing a checkout and I can't even remember what it was for. But I looked. You know how you write the date and you write the amount and then you fill in who it's to and you sign it. So I did all that, and I looked at the date, and it said, whatever the date was, 2018. And I went, what? Like, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I go,
interesting.
Yeah,
from a timeline perspective.
I thought
wow.
I'd tell you that because I know how we talk about all this. But I was like,
yeah.
Well, clearly I can't give them this check.
It's
like,
a little posting. Wait, who did you make that out to? Who was getting that check?
Yeah, I really have to think about it. Like, I can't. I'm trying to think who I was writing it out to, but it'll come to me.
Right on.
Could it have been the dentist? Wait, I think it might have been. So this was literally Thursday. I wrote the check out in 2018.
See, you really were expanded before you even left.
I know.
I mean,
so I thought I'd just share that little piece of information.
Yeah, that's beautiful because, I mean, you were expanded the whole weekend. I think it was just a matter of the drumming kind of brought your awareness to it, but I'm telling you, I think you were expanded the whole weekend.
Right. Well, you know, that happens a lot where you start experiencing the experience
before you leave.
That's why when
yes.
I go to work with people on a therapeutic way, when they first call me, I go, start taking notes about your dreams because it's already started.
Right on.
Yeah, so that's just, I thought that was a cool little piece.
Yeah, I love it. 2018, right on, babe. Even though that, you know, of course, that shoots my whole philosophy to shit.
I know.
But listen, God bless it. If I'm not going anywhere in 2013, well, probably you're not either. So as long as I'm still here to do the radio show, I'm cool.
No, I know. I thought it was just a fun piece of, like, really? What
no,
happened?
Of course. I think it's delightful. I mean, I just like it because I was like, I mean, I really come to the idea. It's like, you were expanded. You were into. Because, you know, it's so funny how we can dismiss something like that and go, oh, you know, it's just a mistake. And it's like, well, what if the answer was, because I've been watching a lot of Doctor Who lately. I don't know if you've ever seen this on, for you. Yeah. It's all about time travel. It's all about time travel and the dynamics of it. And, you know, so what if when you wrote 2018, you actually were in 2018, in a timeline that, of course, you can experience now, but it will be collapsed by December 21st, 2012. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Meaning
right.
nothing's linear, but it could exist right now, and you could absolutely have been there writing that to your dentist. And
isn't that funny?
Yeah, I think that's kind of that's when, like, you know, like you do know, and I know from experiencing you, where everything's the adventure. It's like it's not just writing the book. Every day we're, you know, you just came back from 2018. Well, how'd it go? Well, clearly it went pretty good.
And you know, the minute I saw it, I went, wait till I tell Goldie.
I love that you like sharing that with me. I think that's hot. I do. I love it. Because it's the extraordinary and the ordinary simply by being aware of it. Because, you know, you easily, I mean, I know people, I used to work at a bank. People used to sign things or not sign parts. You know, it would have been very easy to just, you know, he could have crossed it out. Whatever you would have had to, you know, you could have easily given that check to the people. Easily.
Right, you can totally see on January 2nd, you know, when someone writes the year before because they haven't
gotten used to the new year.
But to write 6 years ahead of now, I'm like, where? And I am also...
Yeah, that's a quantum leap. That's a leap.
Also, and I'm not one to make those kinds of mistakes. I'm just not, you know. That might
I know
be
you're
like,
not. I know you're
no.
not.
So it was pretty, like, I looked at it, I went, 2018. And then I laughed and said, oh, wait till I tell Goldie.
Yeah, well, you're bringing it in, baby. I feel like, you know, together with Simon, you know, with Susan, all of us, we're all bringing in the pieces for each of our journeys to be whole, to be complete. And then we get to literally, you know, kind of sit next to each other figuratively as well as, you know, literally as well as figuratively, you know, where we're going to, you know, go through these organic timelines and, you know, literally, quote unquote, have a non-alcoholic party on the other side of the fifth dimension. Because I already told Simon tonight, I go,
and no smoking.
And no smoking. I don't think there'll be cigarettes in the fifth dimension. Maybe we'll smoke energy. But whatever the case, I mean, it's so funny because it feels like every little thing that even the things most people write off as, you know, oh, that's silly. It's just a daydream. It's just a this. It's just a that. Are like the major pieces that, I mean, Janine, you literally could have brought whatever the frequency of 2018 was needed and right now to, I don't know, to help a building block of consciousness in the organic timeline.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like superhero kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Where you're doing. Did you ever watch the show Heroes on, that was on like NBC or ABC or one of those channels?
No, but I know the premise of the show. You know,
yeah, they just used a lot of, you know, multidimensional stuff going on and having timelines. Because the minute you have timelines, now the whole, you know, you really have, it's a dimension that is, when it's observed in a show, you really understand how big a part it plays.
Yeah.
You know, you really do get that. So,
yeah, that's pretty wild.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, it was so weird, too, that, like, we started the show, and I figured, oh, maybe 25 minutes had gone by. I looked at the clock. It was 9:26. I went, no way. It was like, for me, I was in a time warp, because we must have been talking about something that was so, for you and me, and it was very, you know, we were talking about parties and weekends, but there was something that I was so in the conversation that an hour went by. Like, I thought it would be like 8:26. It was 9:26. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So that was amazing. That was really fun.
Yeah. And well, it's ironic because the timeless goes by quickly. It, you know, I mean, time feels quickly, but it's because we're really entering spaces of timelessness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that
and
soulful
this,
space.
Oh, and this is so perfect because to juxtaposition, that's absolutely true. And here is what Patrick O'Neill said in the beginning of the first 15 minutes of me sitting in this Saturday and Sunday thing, which I loved so much. He said, time is, you know, there is a speeding up going, and what we need to do is match the rhythm of nature, which is medium to slow. And that's the rhythm you want to be in. So I love that. I love that because if you're not really kind of in sync, you might think you need to speed up. And in fact, you want to do the opposite. You want to slow down.
So you go with the rhythm of nature and go medium to slow, and I really do believe that that is where there's a shift in your cellularness, because
yes,
yeah. So I just
well, because you know what
that.
It is, it's almost like the cells when they're going speedy, you know, in a, like a bzzz kind of
yeah.
speedy. It reaches. This is the Greg Braden work when he shows the frequency going into the drop of water. You know, it goes fast, but inevitably it collapses into a chaotic speed. But if you hold it, and when I say hold it, that's the wrong word. When you allow that speed to inevitably what you'll do is you'll pop into the next level of beingness, and then it's just like when Jodie Foster was in the chair in Contact,
yeah.
in and she got out of the chair. The chair was going speedily through the wormhole, but it was in the space itself that there was no vibrational. There was stillness.
Exactly. And that's a really, you know, these are all the understandings that start kind of, you know, you start feeling them and they make sense. They're yes, that, you know, the chair was going, and yet she was just floating effortlessly in the space without. So I just thought that was a really good thing to add while we were talking about when you said, because I did, I noticed that the time just went. It was like, and yet the rhythm for us is medium to slow. So, which is the rhythm of Earth. It's Mother Earth's rhythm. So I was just saying.
Well, the fifth dimensional Mother Earth.
I really like that.
But, yeah. I don't know that third dimensional Earth is slow.
Okay,
because
that's a good point. In, you know,
right, because the changes are happening very quickly in third dimension. But the changes in the fifth dimension, that's why it's so important to rewrite the laws. Because in order to be in the world but not of it, you know, you got to, you know, disassociate with all the speediness of it. You know, and I mean, that's why it's so important. You know, are we sleeping more? Oh, hell yeah, we're sleeping more. Because it's a slowing down. It's a resting. It's, you know, I don't remember who it was. I think I posted a woman, Nancy Joy, who talked about a cellular thing where we're no longer. Oh no, it was about the dolphins, and I had it, but I took it down because I didn't want two posts of hers. But I had posted a video on her where she talked about the dolphins were helping us understand the next level of creation is not done with our hands; it's done directly from consciousness. So it's a hands-free, and it made sense because in our hands, that's where we're doing the, you know, symbolic, the doing.
Mm-hmm.
The beingness is in the consciousness of, you know, in our presence, you know, we're not running around like chickens with our head cut off, you know, hitting the pavement, get a job, and pass out the flyers because you need listener. You know, that's all the chaos of doing
this.
That's
the rhythm that you don't want to follow. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's the medium to slow that you want to, which is so cool because I think that's such a great, you know, when there's like these recommendations where you go, oh, that's such a good thing to hear because hearing that reinforces it and and also the biggest tip off, which you know of course is getting out in nature because you will go into resonance with nature. And it's just slower. So So anyway, that was just something I wanted to add before we got off.
It's a beautiful share. No, right on. Those were important points.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'll never get tired of repeating this. You know, and if somebody gets tired of hearing it, you know, well, you know us, then they don't have to listen no more. But because these are the key factors to because you know it's like. We are reprogramming ourselves. So the repetitiveness should never be something that's irritating. The repetitiveness is always there's a gratitude of, I can't hear that enough because it's a key component to having the experience be like when she was in the chair, it was shaking, or the experience being, you know, a stillness and a silence where every answer I could possibly want exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
those are. I'll take the reinforcements. I support the reinforcements, the repetitiveness. So, okay. Do you keep hearing this big? Like, is my voice spiking?
No. Well, not today, anyway.
Okay, no, that's good. Twice. It's already happened twice. I don't know what's going on with the microphone right now, but
But it sounds fine to me. But
which is good. No, which is good.
Yeah.
I know we're not. I know we're not gonna. You know, we're not gonna chat tonight because you have. You know, your 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not fired yet.
Do you want to chat?
Sure.
All right. So because that's why I was doing this.
A quick call.
Okay.
A quick call.
So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'd love to actually. Me and Lex.
Nice. Right on. Okay.
Right,
so all right. Let me.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
There you go. And where can they find you?
Oh, on 2 websites, but jlkimmel.com, my name, jlkimmel.com, or springtreepress.com. And, love for people to visit. So,
and I am, just so everybody knows, my first radio show is this Wednesday, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock California time, Pacific.
Oh, cool.
That's Pacific time. Yeah, it'll be Penny Pierce, and I'm really excited. So if you want to catch it during the day, I know Simon said he's going to catch it because he doesn't have to stay up to all the ungodly hours. So that's Wednesday, and the website is anotherrealityshow.com. I love you all for listening and sharing your energy and your essence and your courage to walk the journey of authenticity. It clearly takes courage, and I honor all of my listeners as family, truly. It's awesome riding this wave with you guys. Awesome.
Yeah,
and Janine,
thank you
as
that's
always.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
you're
right
welcome.
On. I love you. I love you guys
love
all
you
about
too.
It. So until Wednesday, everybody have an amazing night, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, you never know. We might do another show too, right, Goldie?
I'm open if you're open.
You
totally.
Know.
I love it. I love that you're thinking that way. That's beautiful. Right on. Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad I have
together.
Started, and before you know it.